Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. New home, same podcast. Don't expect any improvements.
No, because we're lazy bastards.
It's still us. I'm Greg Zeno, your host. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
And C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And moving immediately into news before we go onto the block, there's one small note, but Funimation is dubbing Space Battleship Yamato 2199.
Which we are going to get.
My only question is, do they have the TV rights? Because that might be weird.
I don't think it's going to be that weird. I mean, I feel like we have to get it, you know. I think this is one of those things DeMarco would definitely be into, and he'd definitely want to get, if at all possible.
DeMarco already tried to get it for like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that too.
If you can get it now, this screams Lupin replacement.
Yeah, the timing matches up, but everything would be perfect if he could get this. I'm actually really hoping he gets it.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about this.
NeoGAF's Anime of the Year 2013.
Yeah, I mean, and also, it looks really good. Like, the production values look really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we would get a westernized version of the OP or the actual OP.
I hope we could get the OP.
Because that OP is, like, updated 70s anime goodness.
Yeah.
That's the main reason, though, is that, like, this is so, like, a fit for Toonami in DeMarco's eyes, because he wants to celebrate the kind of classic anime that he loves.
Yeah.
And this is way to do it, because this is a redo of a classic series.
Good.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope they would get it too, because I want to see it. I've never wanted to see it enough to go and seek it out, but if it's on Toonami, I'd be really excited.
I mean, it hasn't been legally available for streaming at all in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've seen one or two episodes through, you know, like the usual methods, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it's, you know.
So it's not on Crunchyroll or Funimation?
No, no one has it.
Hasn't been, but I believe somebody put out a disc version, right? And that didn't actually go anywhere?
Well, I mean, regardless, the point is that this would be a broadcast premiere.
Yeah.
But either way, if Funimation's dubbing it, they have to at least have the streaming rights.
Oh, they would think so. It's probably at least going to get streamed.
Yeah.
I mean, getting it to replace Lupin would probably be like the best top tier replacement they could get.
Yeah. Not only that, they fit so well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Space Battleship Yamato is probably also not very expensive, being older and such.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be all that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely checks all the boxes for a likely Toonami show.
Yeah.
It's also not, you know, so new and big important that they have to, like, change the block. They could just switch it in. They could just slot it in after Hunter Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that it would be really cool to have. They don't have to build anything around it.
So, fingers crossed. I don't know if we may not be able to get in January because it may be coming too late. They may have already lined up the replacement.
I don't know. It depends on when DeMarco found out Funimation was getting it.
That's right.
He may have known in advance.
Yeah, I mean, if he knew far enough in advance, like if they knew that he wanted it, they may well have reached out and said, "Hey, we just picked this up. You want to put it on?"
And he'd be like, yes, please. I already called you 5 days about this.
Yeah, like I'm sitting in your hallway right now, just waiting to beg you for this show. Please give it to me.
They call him and he's just right there in the doorway. They're like, "Huh.
How did you get here? I already knew."
Anyway, Countdown happened, which kind of snuck up on me.
I mean, we expected it, but you know.
Nobody kind of was thinking, like, it's not like The Intruder 2, where it's like, oh my god, a new intruder! Or The Intruder 3, where it's like, wow, really, a new intruder? Now it's just like Countdown, and it's like, oh yeah, Countdown, I guess.
they got to refresh the block for next year. So, you know, we're doing one.
Yep. Well, I mean, it was only announced recently. That's the reason.
I mean, that too. I mean, there wasn't a whole huge hype train leading up to it this time.
Yeah. I want to say right out of the bat that this looks a lot better than Intruder 3 and
Oh, definitely.
Before. I mean, like animation-wise, they put a lot more effort into this.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. I maybe they saw a bump in the ratings last time when they did it. I mean, we probably have to look that up, but, you know, maybe they decided, yeah, it's worth, you know, spending more money on this.
I'm fairly sure at least the Intruder 2 saw a bump in ratings.
Yeah. I mean, definitely that.
Or it could just be, like, they got a different person working on it, or the person who worked on it is gotten better. Whatever the case,
yeah.
The animation was much more, like, higher quality than the stuff that was in Intruder 3.
So, plot-wise, I kind of don't remember much, and it's kind of confusing because it involves timey-wimey shenanigans, it looks like.
Yeah, no. Tom is in the Upside Down. That's how I'm like, he's just in the Upside Down.
So it starts off with Tom being like, I'm a burgeoning artist. And Sarah kind of low-key shits on him, and he's like, please take my art career seriously.
No.
We literally do nothing.
It's kind of hard to take it seriously when they all look like crayon drawings from like a four-year-old.
I mean, that's the joke.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, though, I bet that stuff's like fan art that's been sent to them.
I think that
probably.
Yeah.
They had some that fan art laying around.
That would be a pretty big troll move on their part.
Well, not so much a troll move. I mean, kind of like a sort of way of like, hey, you know, I sent that to them, and like, it's your stuff showed up on TV. Isn't that cool? You know, just in the background.
Yeah.
No, it's like, hey, we found this box from the 2005 fan art contest.
Yeah.
Good thing we didn't burn this.
Nope.
And so now there's red stuff and stuff and things, and I don't know.
Yeah.
This is really, it was kind of confusing.
I don't get the countdown aspect yet.
There's a countdown to failure.
Yes.
Well, right, but I mean, like, I don't know.
There's a countdown until Tom is trapped in the Upside Down forever.
Okay.
I wanted to watch it again, but I didn't.
Yeah, I feel like next time, before the next one, I feel like I'm going to have to sit down and watch this one again, get a better idea of what the hell happened.
I'm not even really sure it's time. It seems like a time kind of thing, but then, like, they haven't been on that ship for very long, so it's not like
I know.
Far back in time. And also,
maybe he went forward.
Well, maybe, but, like, because then there's, like, he's in, when Atom arrives, or at least we saw in the preview, there's a bunch of the, what are the droids called?
Clydes.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of angry Clydes coming at him.
So they might be from the future, or he might just actually be in the Upside Down, you know, like maybe they just watched watched Stranger Things.
Okay, we get it. You said that like 50 times.
I'm sorry.
Have you finished Stranger Things yet?
I did. It was good.
All right, anyway, it could also be like a like Star Trek mirror universe where everything's evil, you know, or something like that.
That too. Yeah.
Anyway, more on this in the following weeks. Do you think we're getting a Thanksgiving marathon? I don't think so.
I feel like we should.
I feel like they would have announced it by now. But remember, they didn't do it last year.
Well, when does Thanksgiving on marathon. A Thursday, right?
Yeah, it's always on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
They didn't do one last year, which was bizarre.
Maybe they decided it wasn't worth it.
I kind of get the feeling that maybe their audience is more disposed at Halloween costume parties and maybe doesn't go visit their parents for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, or if they do go visit, that it's not a whole like weekend affair. It's sort of like in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like,
their entire audience lives at home. Problem solved.
I've never really thought of the marathons that way. I always thought it was more like, the marathons are more about like, well, I guess I don't know that. I don't know.
I've always been on like holiday weekend, like big federal or holiday weekend because people are like out because they're like, oh, I can travel. And so they're not at home watching TV. So marathon, but maybe Thanksgiving has been completely eaten by Christmas now.
Well, also Thanksgiving's, I mean, I don't know. Most people will be back by Saturday night, I think.
I mean, that's sort of what I'm thinking is, you know, not everybody stays for Thanksgiving, like, through the weekend, you know.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, I don't really think we're having one because it's Countdown's only 4 episodes, and that would make the last episode of Countdown on the Thanksgiving marathon.
I hope not. I mean, I don't think they need to.
Anyway, shall we talk about the block proper?
Okay.
Dragon Ball Super Episode 39, Developed Time Skip Counter-Strike, Here Comes Goku's New Move. It's the Kaioken. He finally used it.
Yep.
And before someone says, well, he couldn't use it before, I'm like, I don't care.
Who cares?
Yeah, he should have used the Kaioken in Super Saiyan before.
I mean, he probably couldn't for whatever reason, but whatever. Who cares?
He never did? I mean, oh, that's interesting.
I mean, during filler once, but I feel like the reason they didn't is because it would have broken sort of like the power level scaling.
Oh, yeah, but really? That's a huge problem in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I know. It seriously would have been.
So, yeah, I don't...
It already was.
I have no problem with Kaioken being supported by Super Saiyan Blue, because when you're God level, like, really, where else can you go but Kaioken at that point? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Well, Vegeta was salty that Goku got to go second.
He was also salty that Goku now has Kaioken again.
Yeah.
So this episode...
He's always salty.
Hits like, so you just power up, I just get better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did yell.
Okay,
just to see what it felt like.
We needed to have a yelling contest with Sean Schemmel, and Matt Mercer's like, I can't do that!
Yeah. I mean, he just did it like, I wanted to see what this feels like. It's not that great.
I liked that we were talking about it in a thread too, that Super is really becoming like self-aware. Like, it's like they're talking about, like, not everybody has to yell to power up, you know. It's kind of funny how the show is starting to, like, in a kind of tongue-in-cheek way, sort of poke fun of itself. I think it's a good addition to the show.
Yeah,
it's basically become less abridged
a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is why they can't do Super, because you can't.
I'm sure they could find a way.
No.
I mean, there's still parts of Super that just take itself way too seriously.
They could do the movies and that's it.
I don't know. I think they could get away with this arc. Okay, the arc that follows this one, the next major arc, they could definitely abridge that one 100%. That one takes itself way seriously.
Maybe. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
This, I thought overall this episode was pretty hype. Like,
no, it was cool.
It was actually exciting and not boring at all. It was actually like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and it looks pretty good too. I mean, especially compared to what we had before.
Especially compared to what we had before. Man.
Oh man.
It's clear they just penciled this episode in on the calendar and been like, okay, nobody do anything until this one. Just save all your energy. Save all your forms for this.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is definitely that they're having more and more time to actually work on the episodes. You know, so with every arc, there is a substantial improvement in animation and essentially writing quality. I mean, not so much writing, but definitely animation.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else from this episode?
I just want to say I still liked how salty Vegeta was. Like, that's, no matter how much he grows, that's his one, you know, thing, is he will always be salty.
Oh, come on! He got to see my fight! That's a huge advantage! It's like, Vegeta, you wanted to go first!
Oh, he got to use Kaioken? I don't know that. That's not fair.
I could see Vegeta being salty when he wins.
Oh, he's going to be so salty.
I should have won by more!
Right, exactly. He's going to be like, I defeated Goku, but dang it, Goku still got the smile at the end! No!
Anyway, want to talk about Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Heck yeah. Okay.
The dark clouds came. Dragon Ball Z Kai, the final chapters, episode 138, Birth of a Merge Super Warrior. His name is Trunkton. I mean, Gotenks. It's Gotenks, yes. Not Trunkton.
Yes, that is, yes.
I like Trunkton, though.
We all do.
It's such a dumb name.
It really is.
Before we get to Gotenks, first we have to get to this new Supreme Kai guy gets hit in the face by Goku and then tries to grope Videl.
Yes, he does. At least, can we at least say that Chi-Chi's probably not the worst parent that we make her out to be? Because, I mean, Gohan at least recognizes that, hey, this is wrong. That's sexual harassment.
Yeah, he did say that, but then he did also say this, and I quote, "It's still sexual harassment, but I guess we have no choice."
I mean, your other choice is save the world.
I don't.
Maybe.
But
no.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
probably
great.
Probably not.
Impossible situation where it literally was sexual harassment versus everyone dies.
I would hope, in the very, very least, they would be like, "Hey, Bulma, will you please do this?" And not just like expect her to do it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it would work.
I don't know. I mean, hasn't this been like a trope, though, in Dragon Ball for a while? Like, Bulma always doing something like this?
Yeah, she usually gets, you know, sexually harassed in some way.
There's usually like a scene where she has to like flash someone to get something.
Yeah, Bulma. Yeah, she's had to do that to Roshi a couple of times.
Yeah. I don't think Videl should do it. And we know that she's not going to. So.
No. I mean, she would probably kill Weinstein Kai if it came to that. Well, like, she will strangle that old man.
Oh, man. Just imagine if he tried that on 18.
Oh.
His head would just be gone. Like, Krillin would be like, "Please don't murder him." Like, "I can't help it."
This unfortunate aspect of his character aside, I do like this old guy because he's funny and goofy. And he had the best line in the episode when he said, "You rotten little dried up turd stain."
I mean, he's already more useful than Shin is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better at his job.
Well, that's not saying much.
No, it's not. I mean, Shin is absolutely horrible at his job.
Clearly, that entire line is terrible at their job.
Yes. I mean, clearly.
Speaking of terrible at their job, let me do this dance for 18 hours.
Yes. No, not 18 hours, 25 hours.
Ugh. I get that's the joke, but it's so dumb.
It really is. I mean, it's basically just a way to keep Gohan off Earth until Gotenks can have his fight.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Because, I mean, imagine if Gohan just popped up and just put Boo down, like, next episode. Like, we'd all be pissed off we never got to see Gotenks.
Speaking of which,
Gotenks! After brief interludes with Trunkton and Dead Guy.
Yeah, Mr. I Need Food. It was the guy that ate too much and then the guy that didn't eat enough.
We can just all agree that fat Gotenks is just Trunkton.
I like that idea, yeah.
That does sound about right.
Oh, Trunkton, we hardly knew you.
So instead, Gotenks, who of course thinks he's hot shit, decides to go off and fight. And somebody, I don't remember which character said it, they go, "So twice the power, but twice the brat."
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That sort of sounds like an 18 line.
It might have been, yeah. But yeah, he's going to probably get his ass handed to him because kids.
Yeah, and he's not even Super Saiyan. What the hell?
Like, he straight up's like, "Okay, I'm cool." This, I believe this was originally where the "Boo is nothing, I will bring him back" deadline probably comes from.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really anything else in this episode. Do you guys think of anything?
No.
I mean, other than Goku still not calling back to Earth and saying, "Hey, Gohan's not dead and he's actually training," there's, you know, nothing.
Well, yeah, Goku's an idiot and also, like, doesn't think about other people.
I mean, he took a 3-hour nap. He couldn't take, like, 5 seconds to, like, you know, port over to King Kai and be like, "Hey, we should probably tell my wife that her son is still alive."
See, that's all part of the Goku charm. He's just such an innocent little kid. it's kind of grating sometimes when you're an adult and you think about like all of the ridiculous plot holes that come up in Dragon Ball Z and they're all his fault. It just starts to get a little old.
It really does.
But that's his charm. He's like Luffy, where he's just like, I don't care. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, Luffy doesn't like cause 1.5 billion problems.
I mean, he's kind of the root of a lot of problems. Let's put it that way.
I mean, yes, but he also solves all those problems.
Yes, yeah. But Luffy generally, like, at least half of his problems he causes to the villains by just walking onto the island.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, oh, like, my plan was going great. Here's Luffy. Fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't cause problems for himself very often.
No, he does.
Often
Usopp and Nami will have a brilliant way of getting out of a situation, and Luffy will just screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's also true. It does.
And it's always because, I just want to punch somebody, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great reaction faces in One Piece of, all right, this perfect plan is going to fruition. Luffy walks in the building. Shit.
they plan for plans
Luffy is in on.
And then there's the plans where they plan for him to fuck it all up, and then he does the opposite. I feel like Luffy probably wouldn't forget to call his wife and tell her that his son is still alive.
Well, Luffy would make a promise and keep it. I don't think Goku's even capable of that. He probably would forget to make a promise.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I'm saying is, you know, one probably cares a little more about everybody else in the room than the other.
Luffy also understands the difference between gender.
This is true. Goku didn't understand that originally.
No, he still doesn't really quite understand it, I don't think.
I mean, I think he gets the idea at this point. You know? I mean, it'd be weird if he didn't.
I think only really recently weird. He had to determine Videl was a girl.
Oh, God, you're right.
He's kind of dumb that way.
Oh, my God. The guy's married and has two kids, and he still gets... God help us. I feel so bad for Chi-Chi now.
Anyway, shall we talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
All right.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episode 13, Wheel of Fortune. C-Cola overdubbed that with the actual sound.
You got it.
In this episode, who should be hitchhiking on the road but that character?
Oh boy, it's Annie. Yay.
Yeah.
She's here to be like, oh man, Jotaro's so cool. Oh, I tripped on air. Help me, I'm going to die. No one likes me.
I am confounded about why she is in this, because she adds nothing to the story.
It's very simple. The editors were like, put in the kid.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they needed a kid.
It's like, oh, there are too many guys. We need a girl or something, I guess. I don't know.
There's too many burly macho men. You need a kid.
I guess maybe comic relief in a sort of way, but yeah, it's just she really is just sort of there, and lots of scenes she's just in the background.
Otherwise, in this episode, have you seen the old Steven Spielberg movie Duel? And not Christine, because Christine was a possessed car with no driver.
Yes, that is completely different. And if you haven't seen Duel, have you seen? Actually, I think the short story from Richard Matheson has the same name, but it's the same idea. Actually, it's the same story.
Anyway, in this episode, they are attacked by a car. So there's a lot of cars.
Yes,
I was really expecting the stand user to not actually be in the car, and that the arm was just going to be like a floating arm that comes out the side of the window.
That would have been fantastic.
But it turns out he actually was sitting in the car, and he just says like he's never had any – he skipped leg day his whole life.
You skipped everything but arm day forever.
Yeah.
Like, he's never done anything but arm day.
I'm kind of sad they took out the line from like the anime and the manga where he just like when he's pointing out the window after like having supposedly killed Jotaro, he's like, "Yeah, I did it. Part three is over."
That would have been a really fantastic cliffhanger line.
That should have been a bump.
Yes.
But so
what was the deal with Jotaro and being like, "Do you like sumo?"
He kind of, I guess, sumo moved one of the other car off the cliff.
I guess. It was such a weird thing for him to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody really... Also, the end laughing scene where they're all just it's like smash cut to 70s sitcom. Everyone's laughing and Jotaro is doing this weird, creepy smile.
The animation in this episode looked a little different. And I like the look of it, but there was like a lot more like interesting reaction faces and stuff in this episode. Did you guys notice mm-hmm. that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it looked cool. Pretty cool.
It was.
I mean, I guess I didn't super notice it.
They just had like weird angles and like collage shots, like the one you were just describing where everybody's laughing.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of looked like a manga panel had been like drawn into the anime.
That's always a budget episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's always sort of what's been good about JoJo is at times it looks almost identical to the manga, despite being, you know, animated. And I feel like there hasn't been a ton of that up until this point. So I really appreciate that it's back.
You know what else was really noticeable in this episode?
What?
Rita Repulsa.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if Rita Repulsa know, is mad.
And Yaba's voice actress did Rita Repulsa, but you certainly probably knew that after her tantrum at the end of the episode, because that was just straight up, "Damn you, Power Rangers!"
She kind of even looks like her a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. That might be why they cast her.
Yep.
It's really funny, because you just hear her tantrum, and it's like, whoa, that's a flashback.
So I'm assuming
damn
she's
those Power Rangers.
What was the name of her stand?
Justice.
Justice.
Okay. That's a cool name for a stand.
It's going to be a horrible stand. I mean, you can't have a name that cool and not have the stand just be utter shit.
Right. The only other one is the world.
Well, I mean, that one's cool. Kinda. Not really.
So here's, you know, I just realized something, though. If this episode's stand user stand was called Wheel of Fortune, like, that's mm-hmm. not a music reference, is it?
The stands in the stands right now are all based on cards of the tarot.
Tarot, yeah.
That's right.
So, okay, like, the star, the hierophant, the hermit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But they had music reference on the names of the characters. Like, do we know what this guy's name was?
To the JoJo Wiki! Because
I bet he's got a funny name.
So, Wheel of Fortune was... The user was ZZ.
ZZ Top.
As in ZZ Top.
Yep.
That's cool.
So,
that's actually pretty fitting with the cars and everything.
I mean, it works.
Another... I don't believe his name is ever said in... is ever actually said by anyone, so yeah, it's not like they had to change it. So, anything else about this episode?
No, I don't even remember how it ends.
They all laugh, drive off. He's kind of like chained to a rock doing some monk thing. And they're like...
Then the Rita Repulsa thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, "I'm going to sick justice on them!"
Yeah.
And then they're like, "We should definitely put Anne on a plane out of this show." Which they will do in the next episode. Swear to God, next episode is the last time she's in the show.
Okay, good.
So, want to talk about Mobile Suit Gundam?
Yeah.
Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans, Episode 29, The Trigger of Success. Oh my god, I've missed Mikazuki just icing some people.
That was great.
Was so good. Like, just straight up, like, candy drops.
So here's what I'm noticing about this show. It is kind of changed now. This show is like Godfather.
Yep.
A little bit.
It's straight up mafia stuff now. Like, Takedown has become like a mafia.
Yeah.
They are the mob.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic.
Our hero is literally a mob enforcer.
That's right. And Orga is basically like the head of the mob family in that way.
He's the head of the smaller mob family under the big mob family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's even some internal mob politics that'll probably go somewhere with dude in the tacky yellow coat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all just, it's, I can totally see where they're taking this now. It's interesting. I like it.
Yeah.
And you're right.
I mean,
it's just great to see. I mean, Mikazuki is a great fit for this kind of story.
Yeah, it feels like they realized, oh, wait, this would be better than the child soldier thing because, you know, everyone fits better.
Yep. I mean, like, kind of revolutionary stuff in the first season didn't work terribly.
No, I didn't. I mean, I'm not saying that was bad. I'm just saying that I kind of think this is an interesting turn of events.
It's not going to – I feel like this stuff isn't going to hinge as much on, like, knowing all the dynamics of everything like last season did. Like, we're not going to be wondering what everyone's fighting over. Like, there's not going to be no hair gel mind jokes this season.
It's the concept of, like, this group versus this group and the kind of dynamics of a mafia story works well here because of the fact that they were always dealing with these groups, like the Dawn Horizon Corps, Takedown, Gjallarhorn.
Yeah.
Like, they're all kind of like mafia, like, groups in a way.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to understand the, you know, conflicts between the different groups than it was to understand what was going on last season. Like, they're not going to have to sit us down and tell us all these details because, you know, we've all seen mafia shows before, so we're going to come into it knowing that, oh, okay, so they're fighting over power or territory or, you know, stuff like that. You know, we're not going to be left wondering what the hell's going on for the most part, I think.
Yeah, and there's this dynamic that's interesting because, like, in the first season, Orga and all of the kids, they're all kind of, you know, they're trying to make a better future. They're trying to get, you know, to a good place. And here, it's like things are turning darker. Now Orga is becoming kind of sinister in a way, and Mikazuki is kind of his enforcer. And it just feels like I can see where this could go bad, where they can, like, Orga loses himself to this or something, where he starts to become, like, a bad guy almost. It's interesting. I think it's a cool way to take this story. The only thing that sucked in the episode, as far as I'm concerned, was the scene with Cordelia where she's just basically all talking about herself. Like, me. It's like, shut the hell up.
I mean, she's still the worst character, let's be real.
Yeah.
She can just leave the show, as far as I'm concerned. We don't need her.
So, a few notes. And during the space fight, I was like, I don't know who's in which machine.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a problem
too.
They're all kind of the same, just with different colors.
Nah. I mean, if they had the suits they wear or the insides of the machines match up with the color of the machines on the outside, it probably would have been easier.
Maybe. I had the same thing, especially with the guy with the Sandoval Reuter guy, with the guy with the target symbol on his head.
Yeah.
I would see a mech attack Mikazuki's Gundam, and I'd be like, okay, is that the girl, or is that a random, you know, pirate? Who is that? Oh, and then it would cut to the shot of that guy, and I'm like, oh, okay, so he's in the green one, I guess. It's like, that's the best you go on, you know? You don't have any other way to tell.
No, I'm pretty sure Juliet was in the green one.
See, there you go.
So what the hell did they cut? See, this is sort of what I'm saying, is they didn't do a great job at, you know, designing the inside of these things, because we got no idea who the hell's in what. All I knew is the main bad guy was in the thing with the two swords, and that was about it.
He was in the biggest orange one.
Yeah, okay. he was in the really, really big one in the middle with the big swords and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think also part of the problem, too, is that the girl, Juliet or whatever, like, her mech doesn't even look all that interesting.
Yeah.
It's just sort of generic looking.
It's not a memorable thing. Like, we're not going to connect it to her automatically.
Yeah. Although they did discover another Gundam. That was in this episode, yes. Too.
They discovered two.
So maybe that'll help.
I mean, I will...
Like, here's a plot of land that just so happens to have two Gundams in it.
See, that's what they were growing on the farm all along. They were Gundam. Growing Gundams.
They were just growing Gundams.
You found more Gundams in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally a thing that happens, you know.
Another comment I'll make, too, is that somebody in the thread was noticing this. I didn't notice it until they mentioned it, but the whole episode, Orga is constantly winking.
Oh, God.
He's trying to be so cool.
But he's not.
What it is, because it's always his right eye, and I think what it is that he's keeping that eye closed because he's afraid that hair that sticks out in front's going to cut him.
Because, I mean, he could kill a guy with that hair.
Yeah.
He's glad they got a deed to the hair gel mines on Mars instead of Uranus.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's just easier for him to get his supply.
That's right. He needs a lot.
So at the end of the episode, Tekadon teams up with Not Montauk, and they're going to take on the Arianrod fleet, and this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'd feel worse for them if I, you know, remembered who the hell any of that was.
So basically, the heroes are teaming up with, I guess, the bad guy from last season, but, you know.
Not really.
Not really.
Like, he was like, where's your mask? And he's like, I don't think I need my mask. It's like, you never needed your mask, dude. We knew who you were the whole time.
Seriously, why did he even wear that?
He wants more power, and to do that, he wants to take on the big main Gjallarhorn fleet led by that crazy creepy guy who hangs out with Juliet and that other dude.
Oh yeah, that creepy dude.
Wait, which is that the guy with the little red stripe under his eye?
Yes.
Okay.
The red teardrop tattoo under his eye.
Yeah.
Right, that guy.
Yeah, I mean they'll probably pull it off, and then Mr. Mask guy, Mr. Char wannabe guy is gonna betray him, yeah.
He's probably going to put the mask back on and say, you can never trust me when I don't wear my mask.
He just puts his mask on in the middle of a fight. What's happening? I'm Montauk.
And now I'm going to leave to go marry this 12-year-old.
Oh, God.
See you later.
We still haven't had any scenes with that. That's definitely coming.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Anyway, shall we talk about Hunter Hunter?
Okay.
Hunter Hunter episode 72, Chase and Chance. In this episode, Gon tries to do a jumping handstand while Tezgera just kind of fast travels away from Genthru for a while.
Yeah, they're playing. You got Gon trying to figure out how to make his paper work, and then Genthru is playing tag.
Oh, I don't think I put that together. That move is like his rock, paper, scissor, paper?
Yeah, that's his paper. His scissors is the cutting thing. His rock is the punching, and the paper is supposed to be like a beam.
The pushing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, something that did happen in this episode, too, is they finally introduced Cookie.
They did.
And she's been showing up in the ending as just some girl who's, like, doing Bisky's hair.
And this Kill's like, what's your Nen power? She's like, it's a fucking masseuse.
Yeah.
What else would it be?
It's the best Nen power ever.
She didn't even do anything with it. She just sort of, like, made her appear, and she's like, oh, but she can do massages. Like, okay.
It's the best Nen power.
I mean, did you expect anything else from Bisky, really?
It does fit her like cute sort of appearance and everything, so yeah. Weird. Yeah. I'm assuming it like rejuvenates her and stuff. Because Bisky's never like tired ever.
No. Yeah, I mean she was saying, you know, it can rejuvenate you and smooth your skin out and do like all this stuff to make you pretty.
And that's probably why she looks like, you know, she doesn't look 60 years old. So, anyway, yeah, so, yeah, Cookie. So, but she just sort of appears and then disappears. And then there's a
Kilo
new...
complaints she's useless.
There's a new spider introduced.
Yes.
Called
Killua's
Kaluto.
Killua's brother?
Brother? Or sister, like, but it's something brother. Like.
But
it's a Zoldyck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Zoldyck character, yeah. I can see already it's probably a guy. And they hinted at as much because Hisoka was, like, freaking horny as hell this episode.
Oh, my God. He's like, you know those commercials where they say, call your doctor if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours?
That man needs to call a doctor.
I'm about 48 hours past that right now.
Yeah, I mean, Hisoka, like, when he sees new strong people he's never met before, oh, baby.
Yeah, he needs, like, an icy bath.
I mean, needs a cold shower.
Needs to take a dip in a cold pool. It's Hisoka. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Anyway, was there anything else in this episode? Because otherwise, there was. So Tezgera and his crew decide, like, well, let's leave. We've done all we can. And then suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, the whole thing's off. You're not getting anything.
Yeah. Apparently, whatever. I'm not going to spoil it, but the guy. You know, the billionaire is just like, yeah, no, I don't care about the game anymore. It's whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they cut to a shot of him, and he's just, like, bawling his eyes out.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on there.
I mean, it happened in the few weeks between when Killua got his hunter's license and now. So, I mean, that's only a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe
like a month or two. Yeah, like tops.
It's interesting that, like, people who are working for him are, like, going into the game to do this, and that, like, they don't even know what's going on in, I mean, want to say the real world, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, in like, you know, outside of the game.
Off the island, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are just sort of stuck there anyway. Like, they literally can't leave because they're garbage. But, you know, it's like he never sent anyone into the game to, like, you know, tell everyone, hey, it's done. I don't care anymore. He just sort of shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, next episode, we're going to go into exactly what happened, and then everyone's going to be all sad.
But I can't think of anything else in this episode unless you guys do.
No, this is mostly just the fast travel chase.
Yeah.
I did like that one scene where it's like, we'll have to resort to drastic measures. Slap fight noises.
Somebody posted that Bleach gif where they keep teleporting behind each other.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically this episode for Genthru and Tezgera.
So, let's move on to Lupin the Third. Lupin the Third, Part 4, Episode 18, The Murdering Marionette. In this episode, a serial killer blatantly announces he's going to do some serial killing on national TV and live streams it, and no one does anything about it.
Except bet on it.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they bet a lot of money on it.
This is a weird episode.
Yeah, this guy was named Greco, and he just basically thought he was hot stuff because he could hypnotize people. But I did like this episode because it even though, you know, spoiler alert, it turned out to all just be like they were long conning him. The Lupin gang, it showed them like sort of turning on each other.
Yeah.
And we got to see like some really cool like one-on-ones with like, you know, Goemon and I never can remember the other guy's name.
Jigen.
Yeah. That was cool, but it was all just an act. It was all just an act to trick this guy, yeah.
And then Lupin apparently learned hypnosis at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to know that.
Yeah. Oh, it was one of those funny things.
Everybody in the trend was talking about how Fujiko blocked a knife with her cleavage.
But it was literally just exactly that.
But like, in hindsight, she didn't really, because Lupin wouldn't really have stabbed her.
He was just
holding it there.
Yeah, he just put the knife in her cleavage.
Yes. But I wouldn't put it past Fujiko to be able to block a knife with her cleavage. She probably could really do it.
I mean, you know, she's got it going on.
But yeah, it was kind of a fun sort of character, another sort of exploring the Lupin characters in a different way. And you know, you could tell about halfway through the episode that like, no, Lupin's gonna, it's all gonna be a, you know, a trick. So
yeah. Yep.
Lupin, the show that's always mildly entertaining.
Yep. I mean, it's always worth a laugh.
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't have anything for this episode except that Greco's voice does not match that face.
No.
It's a bit weird.
There isn't a Lupin episode without at least one character with a goofy voice. That's another staple.
Yep.
Yeah, Lupin always comes up when we're like, yep, good old Lupin.
I hate the ending song. I hate it.
It's really not good. The fact they changed all the music is just the worst.
And apparently that's legit. That is the real ending song. Somebody said that was...
I thought they changed all the music.
Yeah, we
did.
This release. Yeah, we're getting the Italian stuff, not the original Japanese stuff, which is, you know, we don't get the right opening theme or any of that stuff.
I just think that though this was like made in Japan for the Italian broadcast or something. Somebody said that it was like, this isn't like Toonami picked a song. This is something they were supplied.
I think it was like we got the Italian version.
Right, but it's like, even that though, it's just like a terrible, like the song does not fit the show at all. It's like somebody just turned on an R&B radio and I'm like, what?
It's why I'm not doing a best ending category this year or ending theme category this year because frankly,
there are no good ones.
There are like one great one that deserves to win, a whole bunch of forgettable ones and a bunch of bad ones.
By great one, you mean?
Roundabout.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure.
And last year, Hunting for Your Dream was hype as fuck too.
I know everyone always just says, oh, I like the previous one better. I don't care. The current Hunter x Hunter ending is really good. I like it.
It's pretty good. But man, that last one was so fucking hype. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Nobody can say it without talking about the other one.
You just can't. It's just that good.
Do you want to do our Naruto Shippuden Minute?
No.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 179, Kakashi Hatake, the Jonin in charge. In this episode, it's more just actually just redoing old episodes, but yeah, in this episode, I was in the bathroom and they apparently made Danzo Hokage.
I mean, this episode was basically just episode 2.
Except insert shots of Kakashi peeping through holes.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, yeah, this was Kakashi watching episode 2.
It literally was. It's like, remember episode 2? Well, guess what? Kakashi was really in the background, just peeping through a hole the whole time.
And he drank the bad milk that made Naruto shit himself.
Yep.
Kakashi is so awesome that he just shit himself and didn't go and just went about his day.
Yep.
Yep, that's it. That's the episode. Like, this is like the kind of filler where they have nothing. So they're just re-showing old stuff. To their credit, though, this has happened in other series, like Star Trek. Star Trek has had episodes where they went back to a previous episode and then, like, did things.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of, but that's what's happening here. And that's it. I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
Nobody's got nothing on this one. It's episode 2. What do you want?
I'll tell you what I want. I want Outlaw Star.
Yes.
Outlaw Star, episode 10, Gathering for the Space Race, also known as A Race in Space is Dandy, Baby.
Yep. It is.
I miss Space Dandy. In this episode, they join a race.
They do.
And the best character shows up again.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying last week, when I think of Outlaw Star, it's, you know, sort of this arc that I sort of think of first is, you know, them flying through space and all that crap.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
I just
feel
like
races when Aisha is potentially going to be back.
The Katara is back.
Man, why isn't this show about her?
It's a little strange, though, and there was a lot of confusion in the thread, and I have to admit I'm still a little confused about the fact that she was working as a waitress for this guy.
Yeah, she owes him money.
Because she owes him money, right, or whatever. She just can't, like, leave for whatever reason. And then she gets dragged away, and then, like, two scenes later, she's on a Katara ship commanding other Katara's. So what happened? Did she just, like, trick these guys into thinking she's still a commander, or what?
Or are these so low-level guys?
Maybe they didn't get the orders that she's not in charge anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll be revealed later, but it just she just suddenly has a ship and has people under her again, and I wasn't expecting that. I thought she was booted out. But whatever. As long as she's in the show, I'm okay.
So Suzaku just kind of fucks off because why is she even in the show?
Yeah. I mean, no, but she didn't just fuck off. She fucked off to make a bet so that she could win a bunch of money.
Yeah, she really is a sort of like the Goemon of this show.
Yeah, I mean, she's very
good
at
making money. She shows up to slice things
money.
Periodically and then leaves.
Yeah, she shows up, slice things, make a little money, and then go away.
And then Aisha is tragically the Fujiko. Never quite hair enough.
I mean, she's going to be in it going forward, I'm pretty sure.
There was also an interesting scene with sort of like Melfina and Gilliam sort of bonding.
Mm-hmm.
It was all very cute, and Melfina's being very innocent and cute and really cheery, and it was a nice scene, but basically they're trying to search for information about her, and they can't find any, and it's just sort of like a little bonding moment between bio-android and computer robot, chip robot.
I did like how, like, Gene is like, all right, let's take the riskiest possible path, and he's like, oh shit, metallic wave coming in, and he's like, what the fuck?
How could this happen on the riskiest possible path?
Yeah, it's like, let's do the dangerous thing. Oh my god, something dangerous is happening.
I live for danger. Oh no, danger!
Save me.
Something I've noticed is that Gene's voice actor is really good.
Yeah.
And that surprises me because this show's old and this is like an older dub.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just, you know,
you expect it to be bad.
Yeah, exactly. You think you would expect this to be kind of cheesy or poorly done. But there are moments in this episode especially where Gene kind of like he will like say something flippant or he'll just sort of like say something and it'll just be in a way that like it sounds so natural. It sounds like a real like an actor would say it. Not like a voice like a bad voice actor, but like a real actor would just be like, what are you talking about? You know, and he'd say something like in an inflection that was just like, oh, that's a really good way of saying that. I just wanted to give him props because he's impressing me with his voice acting in this show.
Yeah. This is one of those older dubs that's actually fairly solid for the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Yu Yu Hakusho level or anything like that, but it's still pretty damn good.
And to be fair, this was made at the same time as Cowboy Bebop, which also has an excellent dub. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where at the time there were a couple of really great dubs coming out and a bunch of really crappy ones. It's just that Toonami tended to pick up all the really good ones.
Another thing about this show, too, is that I keep thinking it's older than it is. It's like 98.
It looks like it's early.
Or a 92. You know?
Yeah, it feels like late 80s, early 90s type show.
Yeah.
You know, just from like the art style and animation and all that.
Definitely feels like an early 90s animation style.
Yeah.
And it's actually a 98, so I guess maybe that's part of the reason I keep thinking the dub will be worse than it is. Because back in the 90s, oh boy, it's early 90s.
It's a real good 90s dub. So, anyway. So let's talk a little bit, just a few points on the last two shows. This is a great episode of Bebop.
I mean, what isn't a good episode of Bebop?
In fact, it's so good that they just kind of copied it for a bunch of other shows, line for line.
They really did.
I will be the out. I'll be the outlier and say I like this episode, but I don't love it like everyone else does.
I mean, I like it, but I do feel like there's better episodes in the series.
Yeah.
I mean, the character, whatever his name was, the funny one.
Like Rocco. Roscoe.
Yeah.
Him. Rocco's Modern Life.
Yeah, he's a fun character. I liked him. And I liked his blind sister. I liked her as a character. Yeah. It's a good episode. It just doesn't really resonate with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story that's been done a couple of times already. And, I mean, it's good. It's just not like, you know.
I still think
there's
we're like,
way better episodes.
Yeah, there's like we're like two or three episodes away from like my favorite episode. I think the next one's the introduction of Edward.
Oh, that one's a good one.
I can't remember much about it, but I'm looking forward to that. The one I'm thinking of course, to me is Speak Like a Child. Like that's
yeah, yep. A lot of people really love that one.
That's we should have Seda on for that one because man, Seda just loves that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So good. Like, I mean, it's not common in anime for a show to make me cry. And that one, I'm not going to front. Totally teared up and cried at the end of that episode. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
There was also an episode of Ghost in the Shell, which was really uncomfortable, man.
It really was.
Like, oh my God, this guy is so pathetic. Yeah, every time it was like, oh, is he finally doing it? Nope.
Nope. He's too much of a pussy.
He's actually seriously, dude, you're like, just like, man, I'm the only person who is worthy in this world, except this one girl. She's so beautiful. And it's like, dude, she's spying on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the major. You don't got a chance with her.
Your life sucks.
And she's like, and the way the episodes end is basically the major's like, nah, poor soul. He's screwed. I'm like, damn, man.
Wait, literally, yes. He won't even do it, so whatever.
Yeah, like, she can't be bothered with him anymore. It's like, okay, he's not going to do anything. He's kind of a wuss. He's impotent. Who cares?
I was going to say, there was a scene where he was going to hook up with a prostitute, and she's like, what are we going to do about this? And then it shows, like, he has prosthetic lower body.
Oof. Yep.
Yikes.
And he didn't even get a prosthetic, you know.
It didn't look like it, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but whatever.
He was too cheap for that part.
Well, no, remember, the whole story was about the fact that they were, like, soldiers.
Yeah.
Who, they didn't have, they opted into this program, and then... Mm-hmm. The only thing in this episode was this whole, like, it was creepy, but, like, the part where he was talking about, like, why are they eating? Why are they eating? They don't have to eat. And it's this idea that, like, these people who have been... cyberized,
yeah.
Have like instinctually they instinctually want to eat even though they mm-hmm. their body technically doesn't need it. It's a right. Kind of weird thing to think about.
I thought it was kind of funny how this guy didn't actually lose his legs in the war. He lost them from like syphilis or something.
Yeah,
like they didn't get blown up or anything like everyone else's. It's just like, nah, he had sex with a prostitute and you know he didn't wear a condom.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, that is pathetic, man.
It was, yeah, I didn't really watch this episode. I had it in the background, and every time I looked over, it's like, this is depressing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really sad dude.
Yeah. Anyway, on that depressing note, that'll probably do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-dubs.
Okay.
Go party.
What party?
The party that's going on right now.
Oh, right. I got to get back on there.
Yep. Thank you, C. Kohler.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 80, the Big 8-0. Good night, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Later.